This is Industry Relations, a podcast that's at the intersection of real estate and technology from an insider's perspective with Rob Hahn and Greg Robertson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special episode of Industry Relations, the live edition. Sorry about it taking some time. We just needed to figure out. We haven't really done this before. So welcome. As always, I am your co-host, Rob Hahn, Notorious Rob, and always the fabulous Greg Robertson, everybody. And maybe you could do the Clark Kent thing the correct way this time. There you go.
Okay, I got it, didn't I?
Oh, man. We tried to record like five times to go live, but we finally succeeded.
Okay.
So obviously, since we don't actually know what we're doing on YouTube, whatever, I think there should be like a live chat function if you comment or questions there that we might be able to see it and react to it. But we'll have to redo the intro because we went for like 10 minutes without realizing we weren't actually live that you could see. Obviously we're live because there's some big news that that dropped this morning. And I thought the way to do this would be, again, because we just wasted like 18 minutes. I think the way to do this would be maybe, Greg, you could just give us the high-level overview. And then I actually have the agreement and was looking through it. So I thought we might look at it together and react together, The two of us, and then the community as well. So high-level, sir, from the NAR FAQ.
Yeah, so the New York Times this morning published an article. I'm not sure whether the details of some of this was leaked to them or it was provided to them ahead of time. It doesn't seem to me like NAR would want to work with those guys, but they did have an article Deborah Kamen wrote that NAR had settled these commission lawsuits for a reported $14.8 million, along with some concessions that they were making and those policies. And NAR kind of quickly after that or about the same time posted something on their realtor site. I think, facts.realtor.com or something, has an FAQ and another kind of thing that outlines the settlement and also has a video from, Kevin Sears and Katie Johnson, right? Yeah. So, and it went over some of those things. And we've been just, all of us on Twitter have been going back and forth trying to read these things out and flesh some things out about what this means for everything. I've got my own set of questions going through that. I've been tweeting a little bit of that too, but I know, Rob, you probably wanted to bring it up and like we just can kind of go line by line on the time we have here.
I think so. And I think maybe we should just start with the fact sheet. Again, everyone can find this on hold on, not screen. I want to do window. I want to do settlement FAQ. Where's the FAQ?
Because, you know, this thing includes, I think, ramifications for referral networks, for portals, for MLSs, for, I guess it doesn't cover home services, which was, you know, still in some of these
very
things.
Interesting. Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't include the other plaintiff defendants that were already entered into settlements, like I think KW and Anywhere and the others and Remax are in there. So
let's start here. I mean, it's implication from members, 1 million NAR members released from liability nationwide. So this is like the Anywhere Remax settlement, there's settlement class. So if this gets approved, this will be the end of it all, except for whoever plaintiffs decide to opt out, right? And they
can
probably.
Okay, Rob, can I just interrupt this 1 second? Let me just ask you really quickly. $418 million.
Correct.
I mean, relatively cheap, right?
Super cheap. I mean, this is a big win for NAR. I mean, there's, you know, like
I think
God
so.
Knows you and I have had, you know, at least like a year's worth of content. Me especially, like, you know, when we were trying to go live, I was looking at the live stream. I have a video of like small MLS and associates settled. Now it's like, well, I guess they shouldn't have because now they're part of this nationwide settlement for NAR. Every entity appears to be covered, other than, you know, like home service that was left out. I don't know why. And I guess Anywhere in Remax, they already have their own settlement. So, you know, I don't think
Keller Williams.
Okay. So just real quick, I mean, if you go through it, some of the more interesting things, like stuff like this, anybody under $2 billion, you know, release some liability. The thing is, like reading through the agreement, we'll go through it. Even if you have over $2 billion, like it feels like there's, you could be released from it as well, right? So it feels like every realtor brokerage is going to be covered under this. Certainly every MLS, every realtor association is covered under this, right?
Well, no, not. I mean, there's a little bit of difference here where there's a means to. They've also, I guess, pre-negotiated something, so it almost has like a civics feel where there's another amount or another thing that they can join if they want to, but they, it's not.
And we'll go through that. I think
into those.
We'll go through that. I think at the agreement, like, but I, again, the high level, the big important stuff is this, right? That is the biggest thing, right? Which is
right.
That compensation survives, it just can't be on the MLS, right?
Right.
Which we'll talk about. All right. And then there's all these.
Well, you've got to believe, though, you've got to believe that this, they didn't do this without going through DOJ. So
you would think.
The DOJ, this had to pass their smell test, right? It had to.
You would think.
I mean, why would they do this without doing that?
That's a great question. Obviously, we don't know until somebody, maybe Ketchmark will be on CNBC later today, you know, talking about this settlement, right? But, you know, it's like you would think that the Department of Justice has signed off on this because otherwise, well, we're just getting another statement.
Why go through this?
Right. Why go through all this? And, you know, Ketchmark has said he's constantly in conversation with them. So it's almost like the compensation piece survives. It just can't be on the MLS, which raises all sorts of like unintended consequences questions, you know, it's out there. But again, at a high level, this is what we're talking about. Strong grounds court. I mean, it's probably is going to do, you know, appealing Chapter 11 reorganization. They didn't go down that road, but they got the settlement. So this is pretty awesome. Right, for NAR, for every MLS, every broker, every, you know, so that's just that, right? So let me stop sharing on this one. All right. So what I was doing, you know, in the 30 minutes or so, whatever it was, I actually found a copy of the actual agreement, right? And I thought, you know, that's really what we need to do here. So hold on, let me see if I can pull up that window. All right.
Now, there's still lots of questions here. Maybe we'll go over this, but I mean, I think association-owned MLSs are included, but there doesn't seem to cover non-association-owned MLSs.
What I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
So here's settlement agreement. And I just, you know, highlight a couple things like realtor MLSs. Sorry, the highlighting release claims. It's everything, you know. And here's the sort of the important things. Release parties. Any realtor, right? All of it. So that's covered. Any realtor MLS, right? Etc. So here's the realtor part. Any realtor MLS.
Realtor MLS, yeah.
Right. Any realtor MLS is covered, all their officer directors, manager, blah, 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 but only if that realtor MLS complies with paragraph 66, which is the whole, the rule changes. All right, we'll get to that.
Right.
Complies, et cetera. Now, here's the thing. Any non-realtor MLS, right, including subsidiaries, blah, 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 they're covered only if that non-realtor MLS complies with paragraph 67. So we'll look at 66 and 67, right? But when I read it like this, I'm like, so it doesn't, if you're MLS PIN, if you're FMLS, if you're a non-realtor MLS, you're still covered under this if you agree to comply with some of these rules changes, right? So same thing. Any real estate brokerage under $2 billion, you're covered. But here's the thing. But only if, right? That broker has a realtor as a principal with membership in NAR, right? So if you're below $2 billion,
I guess they can't make, well, just go back to the MLS part. They can't make a settlement for non-MLS real
citizens
because they're not part of it, right? So
that's right.
But they have, but they put in some sort of provision that they could if they went and followed this, right? Okay, now I get it.
So to me, it's the same.
But is there any financial thing in the? Is there any financial thing within the Section 2067 that says you're all good, but you have to pay a little bit extra?
I didn't have time to look through the entire agreement to find that. I didn't see it at first glance. Okay.
Okay.
And hey, keep writing. By the way, if you're watching, keep writing questions. Like, we will get to you, but I want to go. Like, let us go through, you know, sort of at this high level, and then we'll address some of your questions in the chat. All right. So that's anyone under $2 billion, right? So I said, okay. So everyone over $2 billion is on the hook. Not really, because okay, let's say you're over $2 billion, right? You're covered, right? But only if you have a realtor as a principal with membership. Okay, well, that's everybody, right? Like, that's every broker I can think of over $2 billion. Like, who doesn't have a realtor principal, right?
Or, well, I mean, let's think about something like,
you know what I mean?
What about like franchisors or kind of the hybrid ones like Coldwell Banker, right, from anywhere? Now, that's a brokerage within
the franchisor organization,
right?
But still, the broker would have a principal broker, like the whoever license, right? You know, every broker has like the managing broker who's like the principal broker.
Right.
If they're a realtor, you're covered. So I feel like over $2 billion, it doesn't matter, right? So take like say Compass.
Okay.
Right. If whoever the Compass principal broker is, that's not the same thing as the CEO, right? That's like the guy whose license is whatever, and it's, you know, part of the. As long as that guy is a realtor, Compass is covered under this, unless I'm completely missing something. I think they're covered.
Or it's interesting because it's almost a counter of like, the, you know, this forces that you don't want to be, you know, that brokers will want to get away from NAR. In this case, it's like it's reinforcing membership.
Right.
Because, you know, as the old American Express thing used to say, their membership has its privileges,
membership
right?
Membership has privileges.
And this would be one of it. Yeah.
Okay. So, and then they left out home services and BHHS for some reason. I'm like, okay, maybe that's.
Well, they're still kind of arguing back and they're still arguing back and forth with them. They never. Yeah.
And then we have this like thing: no defendant in the action shall be released party. You know, other than NAR and then home services, which was already addressed. So I'm like, what other defendants are there? Like. I haven't, again, I haven't had time to really think through it, but you think through any of the lawsuits that's out there, right? Who else is out there, right? Who else is out there? I think this ends up covering every potential defendant, you know, off the top of my head.
Is a limitation on the $2 billion, like if your principal is a realtor member, that excludes you, but is there a caveat? It only excludes you if the brokerage did less than $2 billion.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you read through this, it feels like as long as you have a realtor brokerage, it doesn't matter the sales volume, right? Right.
Well, why put it in there then? There's got to be a reason.
I don't
why
know.
They have that in there.
Okay. Yeah. Total transaction value in excess of $2 billion, right? Including blah blah blah, but only if that brokerage has a realtor as a principal member, has a principal who is a participant in any MLS, does not assert any claims, which is the same language, you know, with everything, complies with practice changes, agrees to be bound. So I'm like, do you know what I mean?
Right.
Over $2 billion. It feels like every brokerage is covered. As long as you're a realtor, you know, principal, whatever brokerage is covered. Okay. And then it says no other defendant, but I'm like, there is no other defendant that I could think of, right? Like, so the Texas case that sued HAR and Sabor and, you know, whatever, like they're all realtor associations, realtor MLSs, they're covered. A number of the brokers that were sued, they're all realtor principal, so they're covered. So this feels like a universal settlement for the entire industry, right? Leasing parties.
Right.
Settlement class. And here's the key thing, right? It talks about like Merle, Burnett, MLS Penn, like, yeah. Alabama, Georgia, this and that. For all other homes, October 31, 2019, right, to the date of class notice. So every seller who's ever sold a home through an MLS, which would be just about all of them, right?
Right.
Like under this,
maybe some pocket listing, maybe some pocket listings might not get
possibly. You know, I can't even imagine if you do that. Like, is there some sort of a claim about a conspiracy around commission rates? No, you have no such claim, right? So I feel like this covers everybody nationwide. So
if I'm looking at the total amount of damages here, I have 418, I have 55, I have 70, and I have 84 million, right? So that adds up to me to be 627 million. I mean, if you add all the settlements up.
Maybe. This part, I'm reading this like, okay, all of my criticism of Katie Johnson to some extent has to go out the window because this is an unbelievable win. Like, I can't even believe, like, really? Wow, that's super cheap. I mean, we're talking like even beyond pennies. So here's what it says.
Agreed.
All right.
Agreed.
418 million. No, no, no. It's 5 million. Like, it's chump change. It's 5 million, you know, like within 30 days. And then within 90 days, you have to deposit an additional 197 million, right? NAR has that in cash right now in the bank, okay? And then 1 year after that 197, they have to do another 72.
And yeah, they have 4 years, right?
They essentially, then 2 years, it might be three, 4 years. Dude, this is like an unbelievable win.
I think the same thing.
Nothing, change. Like, nothing changes. Like, wow. You know, no impact.
Yeah, I mean, basically. Even if they did some sort of like assessment, it would be like 225 bucks per realtor total. Right?
It's nothing. Dude, under this type of payment,
they probably don't even need to do it.
No,
yeah.
Nothing.
Well, this goes back to what we thought. I mean, is that if this is all about the attorneys getting money, they're just like they're smart. Okay, what's your half your balance sheet? Okay, we'll take that. I mean, they're not going to get $5 billion. There's nothing ever was going to get them the treble damages on any of this stuff. I mean, they were trying to juice this berry that didn't have any juice left. So,
at this point, it looks like you're right. All I can say is I think the plaintiff's attorney, they left a lot of money on the table. Let's just put it that way, right? But it's their right to do that, you know? It's their right to do that. And Ed Zorn had come on. Remember, Ed was talking about a $2 billion settlement.
Yeah.
This is a quarter of even what Ed, right? It's a big,
I think that's what – I think that's why Katie Johnson was in that video because she wants her flowers and she wants them now, baby.
And honestly, she deserves them, right? So this is a humongous win now. So let's move down to practice changes because this is what everyone's going to be interested in.
Okay, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess we'll just react to it, right? Okay, eliminate prohibit any requirement. That listing brokers or sellers must make offers of compensation to buyer brokers or other buyer representatives, either directly or through buyers. Eliminate, prohibit, and require such offers, if made, must be blanket, unconditional, unilateral. Right? Okay, so that's going to be gone. Prohibit MLS participants, subscribers, brokers from making offers of compensation on the MLS to buyer brokers or other buyer representatives, yada, yada, yada. Okay? Eliminate broker compensation field. Okay? And prohibit the sharing of offer compensation, yada, yada, via any other realtor.
Okay, hold on. So pause right there.
Yeah, let's pause right there.
In whatever you've been talking about this forever, this kind of stuff here and some more going here, but just initial reaction. What do you think about how does this affect steering? I mean, if there's nothing on the MLS that even.
I mean, in theory, it eliminates it, but. Hold on to that, right? Because we're going to go through some other provisions that makes me go, really? So hold on to it. So the one interesting thing here is any other realtor MLS field, right? So why? Because they're going to allow concessions field, I think. Let me see. Four is kind of
Ed's been talking
interesting
about.
Because you cannot condition participation or membership in MLS based on offering compensation. Now, this has been one of these little weird sub-industry, like within the MLS space. It's been going on for 5 years now, 6 years, right? where the MLS has really wanted to go after, say, Zillow, right? Because they're like, okay, you're a brokerage for the purpose of getting IDX, but you're not really a brokerage because you don't accept or offer compensation. This settlement, that clause is just out. Now, if you want to join the MLS, whether you offer compensation or not, you have to be allowed in.
Yeah.
Right. Minor point, but interesting. Okay. This part's cool. Agree not to create, facilitate, or support any non-MLS mechanism, okay, for listing brokers or sellers to make offers of compensation to buyer brokers or other buyer representatives. Okay. And then it says, but this is not prohibited, violated by Realtor MLS providing data or data feeds to a Realtor, Realtor MLS participant, or third party, unless the Realtor MLS knows those data and data feeds are being used directly or indirectly to establish or maintain a platform for offers of compensation from multiple brokers. And then it actually literally explains it. Realtor MLS cannot intentionally circumvent this requirement. And then I get this. Realtor, Realtor MLS participant displaying both data or data feeds to MLS and offers a compensation to buyer brokers or other buyer representatives, but only on listings from their own brokerage. What?
So again, like
I haven't had time to really think about this.
Yeah,
this
is this something like, to do with, is it a private listing network kind of thing here?
What it says literally is, I'm a broker, Sam Compass, right? Mm-hmm. I think I can put my own listings on compass.com and say, we are offering 3%. Like, you can make offers of compensation through the broker's own website. That's what it sounds like to me. Right?
Right.
So, hey.
Well, this is going to take a little more to marinate on this for sure.
Obviously. So let's keep going. All right. And then we get this. Now, every realtor, you must have a written buyer agency agreement before you can show a home. And that agreement
You can tour the home, yeah.
Correct. You must specify and conspicuously disclose the amount or rate of compensation you'll receive and how this amount will be determined. Right. So the buyer agreement that is mandatory must say to the buyer, here's the amount or rate of compensation. I'm like, okay, that feels like it's preserving compensation, which it does.
Well,
and then it says amount of compensation.
What it does do is, like, if you look at sites like Zillow and Redfin that have this kind of Uberization where it's like request showing, we'll have somebody there by 11 a.m. Well, and these, let's, you know, because these could be unrepresented buyers. They're just surfing the internet. They want to see a home. That's going to be a weird situation. I think it blows it all up, in my opinion, where
when it blows
how
it
can
up.
You, sh- how could, well, okay, so I'm an upper unrepresented buyer. I go to Redfin or Zillow. I click the button. I want to see this agent at 11 a.m. by 11 a.m., it says. I go there, and now the realtor goes in front of me and says, oh, before I can open this door, would you please sign this, you know,
right.
this five-page agreement? Yeah, man. And I don't think they can just put up a modal that says agree to these terms of service and then – click and now you're. I mean, I think it says there you got to be really, really. You know, it says you have to be really detailed there. So, I don't know. I think Redfin and Zillow got.
This is what it's saying. Okay, objective, ascertainable, may not be open ended. All right, and you can't get paid more than what's in the buyer agreement.
Yeah.
Right. So, because one of the issues was, what happens if more than, you know, like, nope, you can't take more than that.
Yeah,
it's left
that's good.
Open is, okay, what happens to that money? Right? Like, I don't know.
This is gonna be interesting. It's going to, for the forms companies out there, I mean, thinking from a vendor's perspective, there's going to be a tidal wave of form changes.
Lots of
just work. Like the COVID disclosure form back in the day.
That's right.
Lots Everybody's going to be flooded by this by July. Yeah.
Lots of work. And then you get this. Realtor MLS participants acting for sellers, so the listing agent, conspicuously disclose to sellers and obtain seller approval for any payment or offer of payment that the listing broker seller will make to another broker, agent, or other representative. Such disclosure must be in writing, provided in advance of any payment, and specify the amount or rate of such payment. So long story short, compensation survives. is what it means. Yeah. It just can't be done on the MLS. Okay. And the MLS,
it can be done in the concessions, in the form it can, right?
No, it literally says you can't put it in the concessions field.
Oh, really? Okay.
It says that, like, no, any other MLS field. Let's see.
Well, is the form, I mean, if it's a state form, is it an MLS field?
Oh, wait, but let's here we go. Practice changes, paragraph 58, which is what we just talked about, right? Shall not, A, prevent offers of compensation to buyer brokers or other buyer representatives off of the MLS, which is super interesting. B, sellers from offering buyer concessions on a realtor MLS for buyer closing costs, so long as such concessions are not limited to or conditioned on the retention of or payment to a cooperating broker. Meaning, you could have a concession field. The seller could say, hey, if you buy my house, I will pay your closing costs. Hey, if you buy my house, I'm going to pay for home insurance, right? Hey, if you buy my house, I'm going to include my Corvette, you know, to use the example that you can do that, but you can't say, I'll include my Corvette, but only if, you just can't talk about buyer compensation in the concessions field. This is how I'm reading this, right?
Yeah, no, but I mean, okay.
That's what it feels like. That's what it sounds like to me, all right? And then we get this, which is kind of interesting, okay? Which is, hey, so we have all this, but if the Department of Justice or FTC brings an action against you, then you have to comply with those, right? But even if you do, then like that's going to override this. Like, okay, requires any state attorney general, final judgment, adopt any practice considered inconsistent with the practice changes here. The NAR may comply with terms of such judgment unless the judgment is reverse vacated, blah, blah, blah. In such circumstances, you'll continue to be obligated to observe practice changes. So I think the plain English, that way I'm understanding that, is this. This settlement agreement says you're going to do all these things, right? Okay. And the settlement is good for 7 years. If during that time the Department of Justice comes in and sues you, or the FTC or a state attorney general comes in and says, we're suing you, I know you have the settlement, we don't like your business practices, we're going to force you to do something different. What this is saying is you have to comply with those judgments, right? Without it affecting the settlement. And if that whatever thing is overturned, then you go back to complying with this. So this settlement forms like a baseline. I found it interesting that they're just leaving it wide open that, hey, the Department of Justice come in and sue your ass and still require different.
I think what they're doing there is that they have, you know, it's just like software or anything else. When you put it out to the masses, you're going to see what happens, and there might be somebody to find some major gaping loophole that they're going to have to plug up at some point, right? So I think, and then, you know, I mean, what I'm interested in, remember when they were talking about the Sitcher Burnett thing, where in Missouri it was state law that you had to like offer compensation or something that they didn't bring up in the trial? Aren't there states where
you're not required to. Yeah,
okay. So maybe it doesn't move that. Yeah.
So, and then there's some appendix. Again, I didn't have time to get through all of this. So let's stop sharing here, unless we need to bring it back and react. And we could maybe answer some questions that are in the chat.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'll high level here, reaction.
I mean, again, I think it's, as far as the monetary, I think it's a huge win, right? What I was kind of thinking were, you know, they're not going to get the $6 billion or the whatever, the $5 billion. They got what they could get. They gave them time to pay it, so it was not going to be some asset sale or whatever. NAR obviously didn't want to go into Chapter 11 because they lose control, which is a point that you've made. I think a huge win. Is it a loss for CoStar, Zillow, whatever? Zillow's tank is. I think anybody that's depending on buyer leads and the way this thing is structured now, where you got to get written things for a showing, referral networks, anything like that, I think is, yeah. I mean, I don't have any doubt these people will figure it out. But right now, I mean, if this is for July, I mean, that's going to be a lot of tap dancing to do between now and then.
Yeah.
Who's the winners here? I think consumers, in a sense, are winners. I think, you know, again, NAR kept compensation. I mean, compensation is still alive. It may not be on the MLS, but it's not like they've taken it completely off the table. I think you were really worried about this latest thing from that Virginia court about forcing everything to go into some sort of a, you know, a la carte menu. That doesn't seem like that's the case here. I think the industry can survive this.
Dude, it's not a matter of surviving. I mean, this is literally everything the industry could want.
I think it was a big ask to keep compensation in the MLS, but you know, they weren't going to get that. You're right.
So there are some real unintended consequences here. But all right, so you know what? Before we react further, let's actually answer some of these questions. All right. So I have.
All right.
And by the way, if you didn't want your name read out, maybe you know, say you're asking this question anonymously, but. You know, I'm assuming that since you guys probably put it into live chat at YouTube that you didn't care. So Sean Simpson asks, are the $2 billion plus still exposed or are these releases just formality? No, there's no more exposure. That's it. Unless I'm misreading something, this $418 million covers just about everybody. I just can't see who it doesn't cover, right? I have no idea what's up with Home Services. Somebody else is going to have to answer that. Maybe ask Home Services. Did Remax anywhere in KW make a mistake? I don't know. I mean, they got a huge advantage for a good long time, right? But it feels like now they might have paid something that they maybe didn't need to pay. Who knows? On the other hand, the $418 million could be because those lawyers already got whatever they got, right, out of those three guys. Yeah. So
I mean, it's $627, so over $500 million, right?
All right. Is this going to be a bloodbath in MLS acquisition? I don't think so. I mean, after this, there's absolutely no reason why if you're a 200-person MLS in the middle of Kentucky, you'd worry about anything, right? You're covered. Like, there's no liability. You're covered. So actually, this probably hurts the cause of the people who want to see MLS consolidation, honestly. Like, you know, we're still going to have 535 MLSs. Yeah.
Well, there's. I think that was one of the bullet points that larger MLSs were making, and that that bullet point is no longer valid.
Correct. All right. And then Ryan Bokras, does accepting the settlement signal that perhaps the plaintiffs may not have had a ton of confidence what would happen if the suit was appealed? Who knows? I don't know, Ryan. I mean, that's a question.
I don't think so. Mark. I mean, they got their money. They got, I think, as much as they could extract from this without it being a huge, you know. Rigmarole, right?
Yeah. Okay. Russell Smith, how much money do we think we could raise by having $100 per throw dunk tank with Ketchmark? I mean, that's, you could suggest it. I have no idea. And then for the steak dinner bet, NAR bankruptcy in 2024. Rob, I said yes. You said no. Clearly, I'll be buying you some steak dinners.
On that one.
Because, you know, I never occurred to me that
others.
The lawyers
still others.
Would be so damn cheap. Like, god damn, guys. It's like you guys don't like money. All right. Tigo Venture asks, is this a win or a loss for RZ and CoStar? So Realtor.com, Zillow, and CoStar. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I think it's a disruption to any portal that has some sort of selling leads to buyers, agents, right? There's just a lot more friction that is going to be involved, it appears. Again, we have to go through this and everybody's got to sort it out, but you know, I don't think the one-click showing thing, if you've got to, like, get a compensation agreement for unrepresented buyers is going to work out, right? I mean, those guys are smart, though. They'll probably figure out what they're going to do. But I would say that is a problem, right? I don't, you know if they think that's going to – Zillow thinks that's an antitrust thing. We'll have to find out. But who else? For CoStar, you're listing your lead, right? I mean – yeah, I think it's probably more, you know, if anything that causes pain for their competitors is probably a plus side for them. If you look at the market right now, and I'll just look at my little sheet here. I mean, CoStar is up 551. Zillow's down 883, I mean, dollar-wise. So CoStar is up 6%. CoStar is up 6.27%. Zillow's down 16%. Compass is down 11%. Mm-hmm. Anywhere is down 16%. So, I mean, everybody's red except for CoStar. So I guess in the case of Wall Street, it looks like it's a win for CoStar, whether that has to do with anything or not, right? I mean, it's the market, for Christ's sake. Right. So who knows?
So I guess I don't think
it's always been saying NAR should settle, right?
Right.
This is it. I think, you know, you were just like, I didn't think it would happen. Thought that bankruptcy was the turn.
I thought it would be very difficult because I thought the plaintiff's attorneys would want money. And I guess the answer is they were fine with getting a few bucks, right? I mean, $418 million, really? Really? Right.
That's what they could get. I mean, they're not going to go to we talked about this before. They're not going to go to some sort of we're talking sell their real estate. What do you think like a commercial building is worth nowadays? It ain't what it was like 10 years ago.
Dude, NAR had $1 billion on its balance sheet. You include the state and local association, we're probably looking at $20 billion. I'm just saying you could have gotten more than $400 million. But again, I'm not the plaintiff's lawyers. They negotiated it. Let me put it this way.
I agree with you. If it was a long siege, you could have got more. But I mean, if they want to get something out of here,
they just gave NAR 4 years. They gave NAR 4 years, right? They could have gotten $10 billion over 4 years. But they didn't.
Yeah, I think that's easy to say.
Here's the thing.
I think that's easy to say.
From a seller standpoint, right? So this now means every home seller since 2019, right? You're going to get about 22 cents maybe. So the whole claim is you overpaid by $15,000, $20,000. Here's a coupon for 22 cents.
Okay, but looking at this, I mean, the way though, there was an article on CNN and it says the days of 6% are now over, right?
This is going to
be a psychological warfare here that's going to be where every realtor now has to contend with. And like they're promoting this as like saving housing, mm-hmm. right? I mean, no. you got to wonder, is this going to be on Biden's next stump speech? Like, well, we went after real estate and we've blown up their commissions. Thanks to my administration or whoever else. I mean, you can kind of see that coming, but I don't know if it's as much. I don't think the mainstream media or anybody really understands on the non-real estate side that this is a big win, I think. I mean, I think we both agree.
Yeah, yeah. It is a big win. Like I said, I need to read through things more, and I'm sure we're going to get a little bit more insight over the next couple of days. You know, like my big takeaways right now are that I owe you a steak dinner. It's a big win for NAR. It's a big win for locals and MLSs. I think in a way it's a big loss for agents. Right. I really do. Because now one of the things that I've been really stressing is if compensation is completely like gone, right? And buyer agents have to convince their own buyers to pay them. It was actually going to eliminate a whole lot of people who shouldn't be in business, right? Like you're not good, you're not ethical, you're not competent, you don't have enough experience. Like there's no way you should be making 3% on some whatever. You know what I mean? Like, and I thought that was actually going to help the better agents who are competent, you know, be able to take more market share. I'm not sure if that's going to happen entirely because what I got to really think through is the fact that under the settlement, they're clearly saying you can make offers of compensation. You just can't do it on the MLS. You know what I mean? So in this weird way, it's okay. So now we're going to set up some other thing where offers of compensation are made, right? Like compensation portal. You know, I don't know. Like, or is it each broker, right? Because again, in the settlement language, it seems to say a broker can list compensation offers on their own listings on their own website. I'm like, okay, so.
Well, but the positive way of looking at it, Rob, is that now agents have to have conversations. They just can't point. We'll see what it says there, or see what it says there, or see what it says there. They have to have these conversations now with their clients. Sure. I don't think before they really had to, really. They could just say, well, he's getting that. I should get this. And there was this kind of cloak of whatever. I think.
But it still is going to keep around all the procuring cost stuff, right? It's still going to produce all of that. It's just that everything's going to move off the MLS. Do you see what I'm saying? So I don't know what the implication of that is long term. The bigger takeaway, though, is like I said, again, when we began this, what we said is there's no way that they actually entered the settlement agreement without talking it over with the Department of Justice. If the DOJ is okay
with
this,
you gotta believe that.
Right, you gotta believe that, right? If the DOJ is okay with this, then I'm like looking at their objection in NOSA going, what were you guys objecting to exactly, right? Because when they made that objection, they said, hey, you could request it in the offer. That made sense to me because, okay, then there's no steering, right? Like, but now you're saying you can offer compensation. You just can't be on the MLS. Okay, so let's just theoretically, hypothetically throw this out. I'm a buyer agent. I have to say, here, sign my buyer agent agreement. And the only compensation is whatever the seller pays me. Okay? And and if any shortfall, you pay me. Cool. There's no compensation field in the MLS. You can't find the concessions. I find a home. You want to go toward this home. Cool. Let me go look up that broker's website real quick. Oh, 3% offered. We should go see that house. On the broker's website, oh, 1% offered. You know what? That house probably isn't going to work for you. Like,
well, that's only if all those brokers – no, if the brokers decide to go down that path and put those offers on their website.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And So but, I don't know if that's, there's a lot of friction there.
Steering still survives under that scenario is what I'm getting at, right?
Like, well, yeah. I mean, no matter what happens, you could come up with a scenario where there could be a steering things.
No, if it was something you have to put into the offer, there's no steering. Right?
Right. And well, you know what it does do when you put it that way is that if almost gives the it's up to the buyer broker to earn his, if he wants that commission, he's going to have to kind of negotiate that with the seller and the seller's agents, right?
But so if the seller's saying, I'm offering this compensation, right? Then the buyer agent could say, okay, we're going to go look at this house. We're not going to look at that house. I know I'm going to fuck around with this one because it's not offering enough compensation. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. There could be a strategy where sellers, it behooves them not to offer anything and negotiate deal by deal, right? Why would you want to put a blanket offer of something when you could probably negotiate a deal by deal?
Since we have to wrap, let's make sure we talk about that on our next episode. Once we've had a chance to go through all this, we do have to wrap. Everybody, thanks for watching live. We do apologize for starting a little bit late. So this ended up being a bit of a short show. But we'll see if we could do another one of these in the future once we know a little bit more.
Don't forget to like and subscribe already if you're not on the YouTube channel. So and spread the word. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. And we will see you next time.